6. It says, in the same way, Abraham believed God. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted Abraham as righteous because of his faith. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to anoint me, that today the words that come out of my mouth wouldn't be my words, but they would be your words. Lord, don't let your word fall on deaf ears. Every man, woman, child, from every different situation and season in their life, speak to us today, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Paul reminds us that Abraham, and if you read your Old Testament, you will know that Abraham is the father of faith. And so Paul reminds us that Abraham believed God. He believed God. That's where I want us to hang our hat for a little bit today. I want to talk to you just simply about believing God. Now, there is a difference, and we have to talk about it. There is a difference in believing in something and believing something. There's a difference in believing in something and really believing in something. Like our whole country will tell you, oh, I believe in God. I believe in his existence. But do you really believe God? Do you really believe his character? Do you really believe his nature? Do you really believe what God says? We got to learn to believe in God. But beyond that, we say, God, I believe you. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what struggles are going on, no matter what kind of situation my nation is in, God, I believe you. God, you are good. And God, you are for me. And God, you are not against me. God, I don't understand anything else, but I'm standing on the rock of Jesus, and I believe you, God. I believe that you're going to see me through this thing. Let me give an example of the difference in believing in something and believing something. My children believe in me as their father. Like, I'm their daddy. There's no denying that. Bless their hearts. They believe in me. But I'm going to tell you something. Clara Lynn believes her daddy. She believes what I say. She believes what I do. She believes so. I'm going to share a little letter with you that Clara wrote me a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I got up here and I told you about one time in my life when I felt like my daddy protected me, when my daddy stood up for me, when my daddy was there for me. And I got home that afternoon and I was leaving town and I opened my suitcase and this letter is in there from Clara Lynn. This is what it's like to believe something. She says, Daddy, I love you so much. I am so blessed to have you. When you were talking today in church about your dad and how he protected you, she said, I thought my dad does that for me every day. And I almost started crying because you make me strong and you make me a ton more. I want to be just like you. I feel so proud to be your daughter. I miss you and I love you. Best friends forever. She believes dad. She believes dad is going to protect her. She believes dad is going to watch over her. She believes dad is going to guide her to a place that would elevate her. And I'm going to tell you something. As a father, that made my heart beat a little bit better, and it made my shoulders square back. It made me feel good. And I want you to know today that when you and I say, I believe you, God, I don't understand. I believe you, God. When we tell God that we believe he is our protector, that when we believe he is our healer and our salvation, when we believe God, it makes God's heart beat a little stronger. And it makes God's heartbeat a little faster to believe God. Now, I know this is not really, really deep, but you didn't come to Bethel Assembly this morning because you thought you were going to get a deep message. Come on, somebody. But I think this is so powerful, in my opinion, after pastoring for 22 years. I believe the greatest thing that a pastor can teach his people, I believe the greatest thing a pastor can teach his sheep is just to simply believe God. Because if you tell the truth and I tell the truth, there's times when doubt comes in. There's times when wonder comes in. There's times when we question. See, you know what? You can teach all this Greek you want to teach, and it's good. You can teach all the Hebrew. You can allow someone to prophesy over you. You can go through some kind of sozo. You can operate in the spiritual gifts. You can speak in tongues. You can meditate. You can soak. All those things are good. But I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later in your life, because we live in a fallen world, sooner or later in your life, none of that makes any difference. Sooner or later, you just got to come to a point where you go, God, I believe you right now, God. There is power in just believing God, you're not going to always understand everything. Can I hear a good amen? Things are not always going to make sense. Things are not always going to feel really good. You're going to have to experience some pain. You're going to have to experience some separation, some hurt, some brokenness. There's going to be sickness that's going to come up. There's going to be darkness that's going to come up. There's going to be times when you pray your guts out and your prayers are unanswered. You're going to have to go through the unknown. You're going to have to go through doubt. Your kids are going to be straying. You're going to struggle. You're going to deal with death. You're going to feel empty. There'll be times when the church is full. There's times when the church is empty. There'll be times when you're falsely accused, when you're criticized, when you're ostracized, when you're mistreated, when you don't know what's going on, and you just go out to stand still and see the salvation of God. You just gotta believe God, because in the good times we're all good. Come on, somebody. In the good times, we'll come to church and we'll sing loud and we'll clap louder than anybody and we'll be praising God, posting all good stuff on social media. But I'm going to tell you, there's some valleys and there's some darkness and there's a real enemy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we're in the valley and when we're in the darkness and when we don't understand, we got to say, I believe God. I just believe God. You got to understand, you're going to have to sometimes, as Scripture says, set your face like flint. Like I ain't focusing on nothing else. Sometimes you got to lift up your eyes under the hills, under where your help comes from. Sometimes you got to quit telling God how big your problems are, and you got to start telling your problems how big your God is. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. Sometimes you got to renew your strength. Sometimes you got to renew your mind. You got to put on the armor of God. You got to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You got to have your shoes shod with your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Sometimes you got to stand, and having done all, I'm just going to be standing when the dust settles. Can I tell you, Brad, Hope, you got to just believe God. Can I tell you, Brian, Shauna, you just got to believe God. You just got to stand. And Doc, you just got to believe God. Mitch, you just got to stand and believe God. Ricky, you just got to stand and you just got to say, I believe God. I'm telling you, there's power in that. Abraham, in the middle of when a nation didn't believe God, stood and said, I believe God. What did Abraham believe God for? Let's talk about that. Abraham believed God. What did he believe God for? To find the answer to that question, let's go to Genesis chapter number 15. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." God said to Abraham, "Do not fear." Can I tell you that we live in a world where fear is crippling us? Fear is crippling us. Fear of the future, fear of the government, fear of the vaccine, fear of who's going to be in office, fear of the economy, fear of our bank account, fear of the past. Fear is crippling us. There are 365 times in the Word of God that it says, thou shalt not fear. Come on, somebody, I ain't the smartest guy, and we got homeschool math, but that's one time a day. That's every day for a year, 365 times God says, don't fear. God said to Abraham, do not fear, for I will protect you. Can I tell you something? Don't fear. God will protect you. God will protect his children. God will protect you from anything that you might be facing, that you might be worried about. How many of you can look back over your life and go, wow, you know what? There was a time in my life when I was totally stupid and totally ignorant, and I should have died, and I should have been shot, and I should have overdosed, and I should have had a wreck driving drunk, but somehow I made it out. Can I tell you, that was God's protection, because he's good and he has plans for you. God will protect you. God has protected us before. God said to Abraham, I will protect you, and your reward is going to be great. Can I just say this quickly and I'll move on? God wants to reward you and me. Like, I want to reward my kids. Come on, somebody, don't you? God wants to reward you and give you the desires of your heart. And if you repent of your sins and live for him, he'll reward you in ways that you never, ever could imagine. How was God going to reward Abraham? You know what Abraham wanted? Abraham wanted a son. Abraham wanted kids. Abraham was married to Sarah. He wanted to have kids. And God said, I promise I'll reward you. Now, wait a minute. You got to know this in case you don't know. at the time that God promises to Abraham, I'll protect you, reward you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. At that time, Abraham is 75 years old. He's beyond baby-making years. Come on, somebody. He's 75 years old. You need to know that he and his wife had been trying to have babies for years. They've been trying to have babies ever since they got married, and Sarah cannot get pregnant, yet God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have a son. I remember when Jennifer and I were living in Guthrie, and we were wanting to have a baby, and the best part of that was we was trying hard, y'all. I'm just telling you. We was trying to have a baby, and like Jennifer just couldn't get pregnant. She couldn't get pregnant. Tried for almost a year. She couldn't get pregnant. We're like, crap, what's going on here, you know? So anyway, we know that we're about to move and we're about to leave the ranch. We're going to have a new career and we don't know what's unknown. And so we decided, you know, because we're really smart, we decided, you know, can't be having a baby in between insurance companies and in between jobs. And so she just got back on birth control. She got back on the pill. 2 months later, little stick says, plus, pregnant, not there. You know, that's the way it goes sometimes. We think our timing is better. Little Will, he come out holding that pill in his hand like this right here. Abraham and Sarah, they've been trying to have kids for years. He's 75 years old. And at age 75, God says, I'm going to promise you something. Can I tell you something? You're never too old for the promises of God. You're never too old for the promises of God. And we think that our timing is perfect, but God's timing is really what matters, and his timing is perfect. One more fact you need to know this. At age 75, God said, you're going to have a son. At age 75, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Can I tell you, he went ahead and had a son, but can I tell you, it was 25 years later before that son came along. 25 years away from the promise before his wife conceived. I don't know about you, but for me, that makes Abraham's faith just a little bit stronger and a little bit more powerful. Like he didn't just believe God for a moment. And can I be real with you? Many of us will believe God for a little while. Oh, we'll come to church, or we'll be going to hell in a handbasket, and our marriage is messed up, and we've been through this divorce, and sickness and cancer and death is hit, and so we run to the Lord, and we get a little bit of hope, and we're excited, and we believe God's going to do something great, but if he doesn't do it in the next 6 hours, then we're mad, frustrated, disgusted, and we don't show back up to church, and we give up on God. 25 years this man walked it out. 25 years he believed God. Don't you know that some of those days it was a total struggle? Don't you know he was on the struggle bus some of those days? How many of you know our minds can get jacked up? Come on, somebody. Don't make me preach to you about that. Because some of you got a dysfunctional mind. Our minds get messed up, and the enemy lies, and the world lies, and things don't go our way, and we doubt, and we get depression, and we get worry, and we get anxiety. Don't you know that 25 years of every day walking it out, believing God, don't you know his mind got a little bit jacked up? Don't you know there were times that he wanted to give up? Don't you know there were times when the enemy was wearing him out? Yet somehow, some way, for 25 years, Abraham woke up every day and said, you know what? This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. You know what? This might be the day. Come on, Sarah. Come on, baby girl. Like, you know, he woke up every day and he renewed his mind and he walked by faith because Abraham believed God. He did more than just believe in some cosmic being. He believed God. He believed God. He knew in the back of his mind, and you and I got to get this, and we got to understand this, and I know you're probably facing some issues, but you got to know in your mind that if God be for you, who shall be against you? You got to know in your mind that God is not a man that he should lie. You got to know in your mind that the promises of God are yes and amen. You got to know, I got to know that God always delivers on his word. We got to know that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. You got to know that God loves you. You and I got to believe God right now. Abraham, for 25 years, believe God. Believe God. Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God. And Galatians 3:6, it says, in the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Listen to that a minute. How many of you struggle with your worth? You don't have to raise your hands. How many of you struggle, really? Like, I know we put on a good show and we put on a good facade and we act like we're good and we act like we're cool and maybe we have some talents and maybe we can win some athletic events and we can win some awards and we act like we're good. But when we're home at night, we struggle with our worth. And the enemy lies and the enemy says you're not good enough. And the enemy says you remember your past. That's why God's not going to honor you. And that's why the promises of God are not going to come to pass. The enemy brings shame, guilt, and condemnation upon us. And we feel like we're unrighteous. And we're unworthy because we bought the lie that we're not good enough. Listen to me. Look. We are not good enough. We are not good enough on our own. We are not good enough with our own righteousness. We are not good enough to approach the throne of God. We are not good enough to be blessed by God on our own. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the redemptive work on the cross of Calvary, because God sacrificed his only begotten son to be a sacrifice for you and I, because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because we believe in his work, God counts us as righteous. That is such a good word for you. Some of you need to understand that your righteousness is not based on your works. My righteousness is not based on being a preacher. Our righteousness is based on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And when we believe in him, boom, we are counted as righteous. If your hope is built and your faith is built on Jesus Christ, you are righteous in the eyes of God. Let's go back to our main scripture for a moment. Galatians 6:7, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in Christ. Is your faith in Christ today? Is your belief in him? Do you believe? Do you stand? Do you believe right now? I know you're going through hell. Do you believe him? That's the real children of God. That's like Clara believing in me. I'm screwed up. I've got faults and I've got failures, and sometimes I talk harsh to Clara when she doesn't do what I want. Sometimes I talk harsh to my boys. Sometimes I lose my temper and I don't always get it right, yet they love me and they believe in me and they have faith in me. How much more should we put our faith in a God who has no faults and who has been absolutely patient with you and I? Need one more little scripture about our own righteousness, because we still struggle like this church of Galatians. We all still struggle about trying to walk out our faith and trying to do this, to follow the rules and all that stuff to try to make us righteous and try to honor God. Galatians 3:10. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God. All of us who depend on our works, on what we do to make us right with God. If I can pray enough, not cuss enough, quit my habits, read the Bible enough, go to church enough, fast enough, if I can give enough money, if I can help the poor, if I can cook one more meal, if I can share the gospel, if I can do this, and then I'll be right with God. If we have put our faith in what we can do and are following the law, Galatians 3:10 says, then we are under a curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commandments that are written in God's book of the law. If we put our righteousness based on what we do, the Bible says we are cursed. We are cursed. Can I just explain something to you right quick? Can I preach to y'all like I want to preach this morning? See, we look at people in the church and we say, oh, he's a pastor. He's been a pastor for 22 years. He's a little bit better than me. We look at these elders. We look at these deacons. Can I tell you something? That the body of Christ, you and I, no matter how long we've been serving God, no matter what kind of attendance we have at church, no matter how many good things we think we've done, we are all equal in the eyes of God. Can I tell you that? Some of you folk need to understand that, because some of you think you're better than everybody else. Can I get a witness? And some of you think you're less than everybody else. Can I tell you? When God looks down, he sees one thing. He sees washed in the blood or not washed in the blood. And if you are washed in the blood, we are equal. We have all been adopted in the family of God. And God loves all his children the absolute same. But if we're trying to base our life and our worth upon following the law, we're cursed. Because if you break one law, you are guilty of all of the laws. We're cursed. We're cursed. We need someone to rescue us from underneath this curse. How many want to live under a curse? None of us. We need somebody to rescue us if we can't work our way out, if we can't earn our way out, if we can't perform our way out. How do we get out from underneath this curse? There's good news for you today because there's a way out. Galatians 3:13. But Christ has rescued us from the curse that was pronounced by the law. When he hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. If you don't take nothing else away from here, stop buying the lie that you're cursed today. I'm cursed from this generational curse. I'm cursed from my past. I'm cursed. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have come out from under the curse of the world and the enemy, and you are living in the blessings of God the Father. You understand that, y'all? We're cursed. We couldn't get out from under it. But cursed is he that hangs on the tree. And Jesus came, and he was the perfect, sinless, spotless lamb, without blemish, given up, crucified, shed blood, so that you and I could be removed from the curse and we could live in the blessings of God, knowing that God is good. And no matter what we're facing, we can say, I believe God. I believe God. Jesus was our propitiation. Jesus took our place. Do you realize? Look at me. Do you realize the wages of sin are death? Do you realize that you and I were dead in our sins? Dead. Dead in our sins. Our sins had cast a curse on us and we were headed to hell in a handbasket. The wages of sin are death. Can I tell you something right quick? Jesus didn't come to save lost people. Jesus came to save dead people. Because we were dead in our sin, and he came, as he rose from the dead, he came to raise you and I out of death and bring us back to life once again. Jesus, John, 1 John 2:2 says, he himself is the sacrifice that pays for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all of the world. He rescued you and I. That changes things when you see it that way. You ever been rescued from something? You ever been hung to a bronc? You need somebody to help you out? You ever rope a big old bull and you're in a bind, you're finna get hurt, you need somebody to come in, get another rope on him and rescue you? You ever been in the water and you thought you were drowning and you needed somebody to rescue you? Jesus came and rescued us. After he rescues us, shouldn't we give everything we've got to honor him and live for him? He rescued us. Last verse today, Galatians 3:14. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's you and I, with the same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. I just got through telling you that God is a God that has no respecter of persons, and he loves us all. And just like he promised some promises to Abraham, the scripture just says he has those same promises for you and I today. He promises to protect you. You're protected. If you could only see. Now, I don't want to freak some of y'all out because some of y'all are probably Baptists in here and this like stuff freaks y'all out a little bit, especially you Church of Christ folks. Just saying. God protects us. If we could see spiritually, it would boggle our minds. Because the battle that we're fighting is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and rulers and wickedness in heavenly places. We are fighting this spiritual warfare and this spiritual battle. And I'm telling you right now, if God could open our eyes to see spiritually, you would see the Holy Spirit protecting you. You would see archangels protecting you. You would see this big shield of spiritual beings holding back the darkness from you and your family, and God promises that he'll protect you. Yes, good for me. I hope somebody got that. He promises to protect us. And then he goes on and says, there's some promises for you in your marriage. Some promises for you and your kids. There's some promises for you and your health. God has great plans for you. Do you believe God today? Do you believe that he's good? Do you believe that he really, 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 really has plans for you? To prosper you and not harm you? Do you really believe that he's gone before you and that he's prepared a way? Do you really believe that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we're even asking or praying about or thinking about? You gotta believe God. Conrad, worship team, come help me close this, please. Here's the bottom line. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous. He believed God. My prayer for you today before you leave this place is you can just make this declaration in your mind, I believe God. As I look back over my life and I see what he's protected me of, as I look back over my life and I see the things that he's delivered me of, as I look back over my life and I see the prayers he answered, as I look back over my life and I see the unanswered prayers and I realize, thank God he didn't answer those prayers. As I look back at my marriage and how he's kept us together, as I look back and see the timing of when my children should come, and I go, wow, God, you're good. Doesn't mean I understand everything. It doesn't mean it feels good. But as I look back over my life, listen to me, look. We have zero reason to doubt God. Can I hear a good amen? Zero. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. Don't listen to your flesh. Believe God. Just know this. How many of you want to make your Father in heaven happy and you want to make him smile? Then write him a love letter like Clara wrote me. Then say the words to him that Clara said to me. Take just a moment sometime this week and go, God, you know what? You make me strong, God. Tell him, God, you protect me. You do that for me every day. God, tell God that. And I'm going to tell you, if you get over that whiny, hiney, poor, pitiful, me kind of attitude, and you start declaring thankfulness and gratefulness to God, it won't only make God smile, it'll make you smile, and it'll change your attitude a little bit as well. Live in this freedom, y'all. God wants us to live in the freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. God wants us to live in this freedom that I don't have to just perform a bunch of religious duties every day. I just want to live in relationship with you, God. Be set free from the guilt and the unworthiness. Live in the freedom and the righteousness of the blood of Christ. Live as blessed and not cursed. Some of you, can I tell y'all something straight? Some of the stories you tell, Tubby. Tubby's going to get on to me for this. Some of the stories you tell me and some of the whiny, whiny crap that I have to listen to from you, and I don't mind doing it because I'm your pastor, it makes me want to slit my wrist sometimes. Because part of the reason you're under a curse is just because you walk around speaking a curse all the time. The enemy's lied to you. Just walk around with your head down. I'm not good enough. The world ain't good enough. God don't love me. I messed up. Nobody likes me. Why didn't they call me? Nobody. And you just walk around. And you're pronouncing a curse on yourself. And you're believing a lie of the enemy. Because you are not cursed. If you're a child of God, you are blessed. Now learn to live in that freedom and walk as a child of God. Be motivated. Be filled with the Spirit. Wait on God with expectancy. Stuff should have been here yesterday. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to do something as we close today, and then we'll sing a song of worship. But I'm going to challenge you today. I'm not trying to be pushy. You do what you want to do. But if you're here today and you just came in with some struggling and you came in with some doubt, maybe questioning God, maybe questioning the goodness of God, the character of God, the plans of God, but the Lord has challenged you today just to stand and say, I believe God. I want you right now in front of your peers, in front of God and everybody, if you just say, I want to make a declaration, I'm going to believe God from now on just like Abraham. Just stand up on your feet right now, and I'm going to pray for you. And then we'll move on, and we'll sing a song of worship, and we'll close. Father, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time, Lord, and we just declare you are good, God. Not only are you good, you are great, God. You are a mighty God, and you are worthy to receive all of our praise, Lord. Your eye is on the sparrow and your eye is on every one of your children. And so, Father, you know everybody that's in this room. You know how many hairs are on top of their head. You know the struggles that they're facing. You know the trials that are going on. You know what the enemy is saying to them and the lies that they bought. You know, God. And so right now, as men and women all across this room, they stand up and they say, I don't have it figured out and I don't know it all and I may have some struggles, but today I'm just going to stand up and say, I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to believe you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would let them feel your acceptance. I pray you would let them feel your approval right now, Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God would begin to rise up within them and they would just feel strength coming back and they would just stand up and they would believe you, God. I pray for a supernatural faith that won't last a week, that won't last a month, that won't last a year. A supernatural faith, God, I pray for a shift in generations. I pray faith right now that will carry us all the way to our grave because we know you and your plans and your will and your way are perfect, God. And we don't keep our eyes fixed on ourselves or on this world, but we keep our eyes fixed on you. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. You began a good work in us, and you're going to pray. Your promise is that you'll carry out that good work until we are lifted up into our heavenly home, Lord. Speak to these people. Move in a mighty way, God. Let us leave here changed. Let us leave here walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Come on.